And now our scripture is Matthew 14, 22 to 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and he began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the reading of the word.
Thank you. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some time ago, I realized the importance of word choice when asking a question. I said to a friend, "Do you have any irrational fears?" Well, she responded right away, "Irrational fears? Irrational fears? There's no such thing as an irrational fear. How pompous of you to assume that there is any irrational fear. What's irrational to you might be completely rational to me." And I thought, well, okay, here I have a new fear, and it's not irrational. I'm afraid to ever ask this woman a question again. But she went on to explain, and she said her irrational fear is heights. And so no matter how much fun it might seem to see a sunrise on the mountaintop, that would not be fun for her, and therefore not irrational at all. And so she asked me, what do you fear? And so I used to have, I have this fear, and I used to think it was irrational, and I thought, well, she's not going to think it's irrational, so I'll admit to it. I'll tell her what I'm afraid of. One of the things I'm really afraid of is cotton balls. Yeah, I am. But apparently there are some irrational fears, because after she stopped laughing, she admitted that maybe there might be some fears that are irrational. But I'm afraid of cotton balls. I just don't like the way they feel. And apparently that's rational and fine. But we all do have fears. I mean, there are those words that we often hear, studies show or surveys say, that everyone has and experiences fear, apart from those who have very rare neurological conditions which prevent the brain from feeling fear. And then it's also commonly said, it's not proven, but maybe you've heard this before, it's said that among Americans, the three biggest fears are public speaking, heights, and bugs. Have you heard or read articles, heard preachers say that before? Americans fear three things: public speaking, heights, and bugs. And my apologies to anyone who fears these things above everything else, but I don't buy it. setting aside my completely rational fear of cotton balls, when I have to think about the things that really scare me, and when I remember intimate conversations I've had with others when they have shared what really scares them, I'll tell you, speech, public speaking, that's nothing compared to the fears that we have for the health, the happiness, the safety of the people we love. And going out on the 105th story of the Sky Deck in Chicago with the glass floor, that's pretty wild. That even somebody who is terrified of heights, they would trade that any day, I bet, to guarantee that they're not going to die alone. That's a fear. I bet anybody, I know I would let a cockroach crawl on my finger if I knew for sure that when my time on Earth is through, that I've made more of a positive difference than a negative one. It's so much easier for me to admit boldly from the pulpit that I'm afraid of cotton balls than it is for me to stand and look in a mirror and ask myself, what really scares you, Ing? What really makes you afraid and keeps you from living abundantly? Today, we have a story about some fearful people here, the disciples. They're terrified and they're crying out. And there are more than a couple stories in our sacred story that involve boats and storms and fear and Jesus and the disciples. And it's easy to combine them and get them confused, but each individual story has its own beauty and particularities. And in this one that Janet read, the disciples have been through a rough night on the boat by themselves. It was tossed about in waves. And there's no mention that it was the storm that scared them. Their fear enters the next morning when they see that someone is coming toward them walking on the water. A ghost? A demon? Who? And Jesus, seeing or sensing their fear, says, "It's just me. Don't worry." And still not sure if it really is Jesus, we have Peter who says, "Well, if it really is you, Jesus, let me walk out to meet you." And so up he goes. And Peter's doing very well. He's doing the impossible. He's walking on the water until things get a little rough. He notices that the wind is kicking up. Suddenly, Peter starts to fall and exclaims, "Save me, Lord." And Jesus takes his hand. Now the story goes on to say that Jesus then says to Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now we don't know how Jesus said that, the tone of his voice, the look on his face. We don't know why he said that. Was he chastising Peter? I suppose that could be true. But yet that doesn't fit with my understanding of the Jesus I've come to know and I've seen elsewhere in the Gospels and Jesus alive in the world. Maybe Jesus said it in a more teasing but tender tone. Because Jesus himself had times of doubt, and Jesus, fully human, knew that the disciples were human. And right here, this other little, beautiful, particularity of this story, one of the reasons I am convinced that Jesus is not chastising Peter, that he's only offering assurance, is because Jesus gives his hand. Don't worry, Peter. I got you. A handout. A hand up. A hand on your shoulder. A hand on your forehead when you are sick. A hand just placed in yours. Think just for a moment about the times when that simple hand offered in compassion, in friendship, in love from a stranger, when it's been offered by a spouse, by a parent, without question, without judgment, without any words at all, think about a time. I bet, I hope you've all had that time that has made a monumental difference to you. It's no wonder I was thinking, I don't know why this came into my head, but maybe because my brain is 90% song lyrics. I was thinking when Sonny sang to Cher, "So put your little hand in mine, there ain't no hill or mountain we can't climb. Put your hand in mine." And John Mellencamp insists that everyone needs a hand to hold on to. And I don't know if you know the story of the song "Precious Lord, Take My Hand," how and why it was written. It was written by Thomas Dorsey. He was also known as the father of Black Gospel. And he wrote it while he was grieving the death of his wife and his newborn son. His wife, Nettie, died during childbirth, and the newborn son died a couple days later. And he wrote those words, "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me home." Maybe my greatest fear, maybe yours, maybe many of us, is that I am too proud to ask for a hand to hold on to when I need it. Or that when we do ask for a hand, one won't be there. But yet God's hand, God's love will prevail, and we must hold on to that belief and encourage it in one another, that hope, whether fearful or not. God's hands, the people of God, hands of all strengths and sizes and ages and colors, will be there and are held out for us to cling to. And I know this week, there may be moments when you will need a hand to cling to. And I pray you will have the courage. I pray that I will have the courage. I know I will need one. To reach out and ask. May each of us be the hand of God's presence for each other and another in a storm. And remember, like the other old song goes, that the whole world is in God's hands. Amen.